So that's on, so we're good. Okay. Okay, today is the special meeting of the Governing Board of Knock Elementary, May 28th. We pushed our meeting back a little bit to 3:30. All members are present, and our administrators and our business manager both are present. And are also representing ASBA, Mr. Nick Clement, is with us today. And we have Ms. Mott and Ms. Sally, sorry, for our audience. So, call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting, the special meeting of May 28th.
I'll second that.
Mr. Elmo seconds.
Aye. Before the vote, Ms. Walker, I think if we could move to table 2C.
Well, you know what? I kind of rethought that. So when we get to it, I'll bring it up again.
You got it.
Okay. Item 2, discussion and action. And then when we get there, it'll make sense. So, presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding representative of the Arizona School Board Association will provide the governing board with an overview of the community survey results. That would be Mr. Nick Clement.
Well, I'm honored to be back in your home.
Welcome.
For this agenda item, we, as part of your package, as part of the search package, we provided a link to distribute to your community, your stakeholders, to get feedback about the profile of the ideal superintendent for NACU Elementary. So at this point, we have the results.
So this is the one from ASBA, and then we had one that the kids did, and we had one that the school did. So
they all come into this.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes. So the first page, it gives you an idea, and I'm just going to do the highlights of this.
Okay.
The first page, you'll see how the breakdown is. For example, 34% of the responses came from folks that worked at the district. 54% are family members, a student in the district. So that's a good sign that you've got a kind of a breakdown, so you don't have 90% of the survey results from one part of your community. You have some balance. And again, this is voluntary. Your job was to get the link out, and obviously you did, to various members of your community. So
now the numbers to the right, those are actually how many people responded?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So if you go, I'm going to hit the highlights on each of the questions. The strongest attribute in the first one, in leadership skills, the top two were motivating staff and students, improving morale, and experience evaluating, reorganizing staff, revising procedures. So those were the top two answer choices.
So that's the experiencing of reorganizing and the staff and the students improving morale? Okay.
Yeah. Then the next question was academic programs. Please choose two items that you feel are most important for your district. And the highest response has experience leading a school or district where student achievement has been increasing. With the next highest being ability to plan and implement continuous improvements. So they're 55% and then 42%. Okay. Then if you go to the next question, this has to do with board and superintendent relations. Your top two items there were communicates transparently and with candor with all stakeholders. That was your number one highest answer. The next was a superintendent who is child-centered advocate for learning who demonstrates belief that all children can learn. Those were your top two. Okay. If you go to question five, this has to do with communications and community engagement. And your top two were, has successfully engaged the public, the media, and support groups. And the next one was, has excellent speaking skills with large and small groups. Okay. If we go to question six, this is in the area of staff development, professional development. Your top two, your community wants a superintendent who has demonstrated skill in supervising employees at all levels. And the second one was, has experience developing and coordinating professional development programs. Question seven has to do with decision making. And the top two there were 58% said they want a superintendent who includes parents, staff, and community members and students as appropriate in the development of recommendations. The next highest was reacts positively in highly stressful situations. If you go to question eight, this is support services and facilities. And 87%, pretty high rating there, pretty high attribute. They want a superintendent who has efficiently managed the operation of a school district. And then the next one is sports use of technology. And if you go to question nine, that's the budget and finance attribute. Number one was has successful experience planning, managing, and evaluating annual budgets. And that was 81%. Next one was 51%, 52%. Can propose and implement ways to restore financial stability to a district with financial problems. Okay. And if we go to number 10, I believe that's next to the last. The number 10 has comments. They had an opportunity to provide comments. So these are from individuals who completed the SurveyMonkey. Okay. And then question 11, the question was, what are the two or three most significant challenges? And then it was open-ended. So these are all the comments.
The number one was the most... Well, no, they're just they're not.
Those are just order. All. Those are all individual.
Okay.
This is for as part of our search package to help provide stakeholder input in the process that we're going to engage in tonight, which is the screening.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have this as an action item, but this is we're not going to take any
it's
action on this.
It's an
information item. So we won't be taking any action on that. So if we want, we're going to go ahead and proceed to item B, presentation, discussion, and possible action that the governing board may consider convening an executive session pursuant to ARS 3841.03A1 to screen applicants related to the position of the district superintendent. So why don't we go ahead and do C? You want to do C, and then we'll just and then we can convene.
Sure.
Okay. So we'll convene after we do to item C because that's all the information and action or discussion and action. So item C, that was a presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the two special teacher contracts for the summer program, and I spoke to our legal counsel, and we had a couple of options. One was tabling it. But after I spoke to legal, I think the other thing was that we were talking about maybe with our financial situation. Why don't we wait on that? Because right now I did the numbers with our summer school program, and right now we have one teacher for every 14 students, which I think is pretty adequate. That's a lot lower than our what we have in our classrooms. And so I think at this point, if you guys aren't opposed, I'd like to make a motion to not even consider a special teaching contract at this time until we see how summer school goes, and if, then if it hops up, then we can address that. I anticipate it's probably, I think in December they're going to be sleeping in, and that might not happen. So,
how many students do we have signed up for the summer school?
We had 100. We have 101,
mm-hmm.
And these are applications that we got back from parents, indicating that yes, they would send their child to summer school. What I'm doing this week is I am communicating with all 101 parents, or attempting to see how firm they are in terms of their commitment to sending their child here.
Mm-hmm.
And so so that's what we've been doing throughout the day, and we should be done by Thursday afternoon, just confirming with the parents. So
the two special teachers, what would they be?
One was going to be in the middle school area for mm-hmm. for ELA, and the other one was going to be in the elementary area. It does, Ms. Walker is correct, it does, you know, when you do the basic math, it is about 14 to 1. The dilemma that we run into, however, is that in some classes, like we had a very big third grade, but the middle school wasn't as large. And so that is something that we can work on, because there's different ways to group children.
Mm-hmm.
So we can also group them by ability level. And so we can certainly manage. We may end up needing one teacher.
Here's the other additional problem, though, is that since these aren't teachers that work here, technically we should have posted those jobs. And instead of doing it the way we did, because normally we would post a job like that, because both these teachers don't work here, and they're teachers that have left. And so Denise said that we technically should have posted the jobs.
We could have. The dilemma was the time.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly is, it wasn't until recently that we knew how many students would actually submit their applications.
How many teachers do we have?
We have seven right now.
Well, we have seven, but
and
we
offered first dibs to the NACO teachers. And of the 15 teachers, seven stepped forward and said that they would like to work. So if I needed another one, they aren't there within the NACO staff.
Okay, so nobody else has come up to you and said that they're willing to
not do, beyond the seven.
Not beyond the seven.
Well, see, we have the seven teachers. We also have, in addition, we have the aides. We have two aides, right? Oh, was he added? We had six. Then we added Reese.
We had three aides, and then there's two cafeteria workers that will split their time.
Oh, the aides are Francisca and no, the aides are Oliveras, Oliviedo, and Valdez. So we do have three. Okay, three aides.
What about the finances? What about, is there something wrong with the finances? I thought there was enough for like 10 teachers, wasn't there?
Right. The money is not coming from the MNO. It's coming from the Title I.
Mm-hmm.
The Title I budget.
Well, the thing is, too, is that right now, even Denise, we were talking about even freezing spending, because right now we have the IRS problem, and that's a big number.
That was my concern too when I read about the teachers, is just really worry about that IRS thing going on. And I mean, if we need the teachers, but if we can hold on just to be.
I am in agreement with Ms. Walker. We can certainly wait, because by the end of the week, I'll have a fairly good idea of how many firm commitments we have.
And it might drop.
You know, of the 101, it might be that 90 show up.
Mm-hmm.
And 11
yeah.
that said that they were going to show up, don't. But the reverse is true.
Right.
I might have a few that didn't say anything about coming to summer school because maybe they had travel plans that fell through, and they may show up at the doorstep come Monday morning.
Right.
So the fact of the matter is we still do not know. Now, we do have a board meeting on Tuesday the 4th, and so there does exist that possibility that if I'm overloaded, that I can come back to the board and say, hey, we really do need, you know, whatever it might be. But I was trying to keep the student-to-teacher ratio pretty low, and I wanted to keep it between 12 and 15 to 1.
And we're right at 14 now.
And we're right at 14.
And the other thing is...
It's just that we do have a couple of classes or subject or grade levels that, you know, because it doesn't split along the lines of an equal amount of kindergartners to an equal amount of fourth graders to an equal amount of sixth graders.
It varies.
I mean, it, you generally will have, like right now, I got a pretty big third grade class. But the middle school isn't as large as what I'd like it to be. So, again, that's why I'm fairly comfortable with waiting, because I'll know more. But I don't see how we could have posted it, given the fact that I simply didn't know how many students until very late in the semester.
Well, that's something, if you need to do that, that legally we should really post it. The other thing is that, I mean, I did the math on it. We were talking about 31,000 for the 12 days initially for the 5 hours of instruction?
That's if we had about 12 teachers and,
right.
And we were running. But now that it's at 7, I think we're at around $13,000, $14,000.
Well, I know that right now if we have the, we're at 15,150 with the teachers, and that then if you add like two or more additional, that's 18. And so I just was wondering if you could give us a breakdown the next time if we do revisit this, that we probably have a breakdown of where that other almost 16,000 is coming from, and we need to have a total number.
So if it pleases the board, on Friday when I send you the Friday report, I'll send you that breakdown.
Okay.
And so
as is without.
So that you can have it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday, if indeed it's on the agenda, that's something that I will work with, Ms. Walker.
The 7 teachers, it's just the teachers. And how about the cafeteria staff?
There's 7 teachers, 3 paraprofessionals, and there are 2 cafeteria employees. Mm-hmm. But each of the employees is going to work half of, so it's like having 1.
So we have a total.
But there's 2 ladies that are going to split the contract.
Is that I have Francisca and Estrada? Okay.
And is that enough for you to do all those, almost 100 kids? Yeah? Okay. And then I know that, I mean, because during the summer, I guess it's like a program that you have to feed the kids for breakfast and lunch?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it going to be, like, open to the public also, or is it just for the students?
Yes. Well, open to the public, meaning open to...
Like the parents.
To school-age children.
School-age, okay.
Not to parents.
Not to parents, okay.
And the breakfast and lunch that we're serving is not the traditional, like, for example, Miss Sally, she puts on a really good breakfast for her kids, mm-hmm. and the lunch is great. I mean, she goes mm-hmm. all out with her staff. But in the summer, it's going to be a lot more grab and go.
Okay. So it's a total of 12 staff that we have right now for that summer program.
Right now.
Is it?
With the aides.
Including the...
Yes. Okay. Now, there are other staff, but they're already 12-month employees.
So probably the majority of the cost out of that other 15,000 remaining is probably coming from food costs.
No. I'd say it's more labor. That's the main cost.
Labor
for the teachers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The 15,150 is the teachers and the aides and the cafeteria people. That came to 15,150. But then we were talking about 31,000. So that's why it would help if you had a breakdown to see where that other additional 15,000 plus is coming from.
I will provide you that breakdown on the Friday report.
So are you guys okay with going ahead and making a decision to not adopt this for now? Because right now, and I'd also like to get, because to tell the truth, in the past, summer school didn't work out. We'd have kids would show up, but then a lot of kids would go down to the families down farther down in Mexico where they can get into the water and stuff like that. So vacations start happening, and it just fizzled out, you know. And so he's already said that if there wasn't the need for all those teachers, that he's already talked to them that some people would probably have to be standing down, and we might have to modify some of these numbers. But if you would mind, every day, would you let me know what the attendance is? Because I'd like to know how it's going to go, because we haven't done this in some time.
Email me. We have been pretty transparent with our parents and with our teachers that I heard the board loud and clear, this is not babysitting. So the instruction is going to be intensive in English, and more specifically in the reading strategies that we employ, and the math. So there's three main content areas that we are going to be challenging kids with. Writing, reading, and mathematics. And I've been very clear with the teachers that I want the children to have homework every day, and they will be pushing the kids academically, and it'll be intensive English instruction. And so that we are not going to be in a scenario where that is going to be babysitting. Now, the factor that I have limited control over is if a child goes home, if a fifth grader goes home after 3 days and says to his mom, I'm not going back, I don't want to go back, and the mom supports that decision, there's not a lot I can do about that.
No.
And so we may have some of that, but it's not going to be because, gee, all we did was do puzzles today and all we did was play around in the class.
And people are going on vacation, and it's going
to
happen.
And so I'm trying to make sure that it is as academically focused as it could be. Mm-hmm. I'll keep you updated on the status and on the attendance.
Okay.
And on Friday, I should be able to give you how many parents have confirmed. Okay.
So you guys are you ready to make it a decision about not hiring somebody at this point and then revisiting it if that's necessary? Because right now these teachers don't work here, and we really are supposed to post it if we need to do that.
What teachers are you talking about?
It's Yvonne Torres, which, you know how that went. You know, she owes us money.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was Marthan, and she had left also. So they don't work for our district.
No, her name is Manessas.
Oh, Manessas.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Manessas.
Okay.
They're certificated.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't work here.
Okay. Right. Okay. And that's why normally you would publish the job in the paper or something, saying that we're needing two teachers. And that way we're not going out. We're doing in-house hiring for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally we would have to post it so that to get other applicants to see who's, you know, interested in it.
And everyone that you've hired, the ones that I recommended, are NACO employees.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's I understood that. That's perfect. So how do you feel about making a decision and just not approving this at this time, or approving it, whatever your decision may be?
What about tabling it? And until we get
Denise recommended that we not do that. That she said we could table it, but we could also make a decision, because right now we don't have the funds to be paying more money. We're in financial distress right now, big time. And so we really need to be freezing. We should be spending any money we don't have to spend, literally.
I'm just concerned about that part of the IRS. I mean, we haven't heard anything or nothing, but
we've heard nothing. And I just want to remind the board that the dollars that we're talking about here are not the dollars that
the 301 money,
the IRS would have anything to do with.
Mm-hmm.
These are federal title monies.
So the money is there for the money that we approved for 10 teachers, but we only have 7,
correct.
Right? And then these two would make it 9.
But we're still talking about $31,000 that we don't have to spend if we don't have to, you know. And so that's why we really have to start thinking about saving money in every area that we possibly can, because that money that they're hitting us with could be substantial.
Right.
We don't have it.
Well, but also, what about if we do hire these two teachers and the students could have more of that.
Listen, we can't hire these two teachers. They are not employees of our school. We're going to still have to advertise. So literally, we cannot approve this contract for these two people because they're not employees here, and it has to be posted if we're going to do that. And it needs to be advertised. That's the problem, clinically.
Okay.
Because it's really not right to hire somebody that has already exited our school. And
if we don't revisit the issue of hiring, I can run it with what I've got.
Okay.
And then you'll give us a breakdown about the monies, where what's costing us, and a bottom number, because right now we really don't have
a
final number. Okay.
How did these two teachers find out about the summer program?
Oh, I asked him about that because it wasn't published. So.
One was a recommendation from a teacher, and that teacher had worked here for a few years. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I don't know how she found out, but I got a call from that teacher. And so, again, I believe I'm in need of two teachers, but I can certainly run the program with what I've got.
Mm-hmm. What did the lawyer say?
Well, technically,
say we do hire them.
One of them owes us a substantial amount of money already, and she left here owing us a lot of money. And so that right there is a problem with that one. And so that's why we'd have to advertise for that one anyway. And that's when we offered her a contract, but she left owing us over $3,000. And so technically, Ms. Vanessa, she just doesn't work for the district.
Huh? That occurred? The teacher left here owing the district money?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel uncomfortable talking about that, but it is a fact. So, in light of item C, I'd like to move that we not hire the two teachers' contracts for the summer program until we see how we proceed into the summer program.
And I'll second that motion.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we're going to item B, a presentation, discussion, and possible action that the governing board may consider convening an executive session pursuant to ARS and the statute to screen applicants related to the position of the district superintendent. So I think at this time I'd like to make a motion to convene into executive.
I'll say the motion.
Mr. Almost seconds.
Aye.
Ayes.
Aye.
Aye. And so we're going to call us out of our open meeting at the 3:59.